Hello and welcome to this episode of Passionate About People. My name is Phil Dave. I'm a broadcaster who works primarily in mental health and well-being, but also in technology and, hey, a whole variety of other subjects as well.
Hi, I'm Graham Godfrey. I'm a business mentor and positive mindset coach. My clients range from CEOs to business owners, boards of companies, middle management and staff who want to build and create a positive mindset to peak perform in their respective industries. But not only in business, but also in life. And, Phil, as you know, I'm going to say this, I host my own feel-good radio show on secondcityradio.net, playing some of the greatest jazz, funk, and soul music from the 80s and 90s, but also with a boost of positivity and the feel-good factor to kickstart your day.
Fabulous. Thank you very much, Fluff Freeman. Okay, and now joining us on this episode of Passionate About People, we are delighted to welcome Danielle McLeod, who's the co-founder of Remarkable Women.
Hi, it's really great to be with you. So let me tell you a bit about me then. I've been leading a business called Remarkable Women for almost 5 years now. And prior to that, I was customer service director of one of the biggest companies in the UK. So when you say passionate about people, I led 10,000 people for about 6 years. My real passion at the time was, how do I have all these people fall in love with what they do? How do I have them fall in love with what they do? And how do I have them feel significant and like they're making a contribution in their life? And so I focused on that for a really long time, fell in love with that work, and then got hooked onto, surprisingly, this whole question around women and equality in business and in the world. And that was a bit of a surprise for me because I'd grown up in construction where it was really very normal for me to be the only woman in the room. And then I'd moved into an organization where we were really pretty even. But actually, as I started to dig into it more, I saw we still had a long way to go. And so eventually I turned my attention to what was going on for women. So not what's going on systemically in society, but what was going on for women that had them not step into their greatness. And Remarkable Women is all about, how do we show you that the greatest thing standing in your way is you and really not very much else that's going on out in the world. Of course, there's societal changes and environmental changes, definitely a whole conversation we could be having on privilege. But if we can unlock what's going on in the mind, what happens then? What are the possibilities that open up that you wouldn't get access to otherwise?
There is a great deal of possibility out there as to how the landscape may change as far as the world of business is concerned. But one thing that I have always found absolutely baffling is that I don't know where the notion of there is a problem ends versus the problems with the individual, because that sort of plays on what you were saying, Danielle, about that there's nothing stopping you. And I genuinely believe, speaking as someone who is not in the world of business and doesn't necessarily know how the land lies, but I've got a fairly good idea that sort of there's an awful lot of mind over matter. And unfortunately, an awful lot of people don't implement that as often as they should do. Where is that barrier? Where's that blurred line, as it were, of it's a problem within industry versus it's a problem within the individual?
Well, look, I think everything's broken. I've got a friend of mine who says, everything's broken. What a great time to be alive. I always think that's a really powerful place to start, this idea that we have all this opportunity around us to change things. And so it becomes for me about perspective. So I remember when I was back in the corporate world, we had this message that was, we want to offer the best service in the country. And I just thought it was a terrible strapline and that I couldn't get my own head around it. I hadn't come up with it. And to have to stand up in front of thousands of people and talk to this strapline, I realized that I had to work out, what did we do with it? What do we do with it? How did I own it so that I could share it with other people? And what I saw was people constantly putting their hands up and going, yeah, but Danielle, you don't understand. X is broken. Y is broken. And one day it dawned on me and I had a really simple answer. And I said, there isn't an organization out there who doesn't have broken things. Not one. And yet one of them is going to come out on top. And I'd like to argue it should be ours. And so we're all working with elements of or circumstances that are challenging for us. And yet how the mind responds to those circumstances can give you an enormous advantage. If you're willing to say, well, hang on a minute, I have within me the power to make choices, the power to respond, the power to choose how to react, and the power to stay with this for longer, then two people in exactly the same situation with exactly the same circumstances can make entirely different outcomes based on their choices that come from their mind. And so that's really where I put people's attention. Like, I can't change that we're in a pandemic right now. I can't even change that people in your life and my life will die and that I will die one day. But I can choose how I show up every day, and I can choose to pay less attention to the voice in my head that says, play small, Danielle, hold back. You know, fit in with everybody else, whatever that voice is that's telling us, don't be who you are. That's what I'm interested in.
Wow. We're so lucky to have Danielle on this podcast because we have the most incredible conversations. And, you know, when I'm coaching and I'm speaking to individuals there, to get over that barrier to sort of perform at their best, there's always that element of fear. Can I do it? Can I not do it? What the outcome is going to be? And somebody said something to me last week, which I thought was quite profound. They said that you need to see cracks because that's how the light gets through. And I thought that was so profound because we're not perfect. We don't need to be perfect. We just need to become at one with ourselves and understand who we are. And then once we learn what we like, what we don't like, what we're good at, what we need to improve on, we need to allow that light to start to come through. And when it does come through, you see the possibilities. What I'm interested in is, how did this remarkable woman, how did you create it? What was the starting point and where are you now?
Okay, so it was a really bonkers starting point. I had resigned from my big corporate job and it was my intention to have a year off. And I had been invited to speak. I've done conference speaking for a long time. It's always been one of my things. I like to be on a stage. And I'd been invited to speak at a big women's event at one of the biggest hotels in Scotland. And about a month before, I was on a trip with my now co-founder. We'd gone to an event in London. And she said to me, I'm really missing being on stage. She had her own business for a long time. She's the most talented coach I've ever come across in my life, to be honest. And she said, I'm really missing being on stage. I never do it anymore. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, I've got this event coming up in a month's time. Why don't you come on stage and be with me and we'll do it together? And she said, I can't do that. They've asked you because you're who you are and they don't want me. I'm nobody. And I said, well, I'll ring them and ask them and let's see. So I rang this woman. She said, I don't care. Just inspire the women. Do it whatever way you like. So we got onto stage and in this room full of women in their corporate suits. And we told a story about how the two of us became friends, which was a really big story. Nick, as a complete stranger, stepped in, handed me her business card when she saw me in trouble and said, let me help you. And that's kind of how we came together to be friends. And so we told this story and literally, I mean, there were tears in the room and this was a big corporate event. It was quite surprising to us. And at the end of the event, we had this queue of people saying, where do we sign up? And we said, what for? We're not a thing. And people were saying, but we want to spend more time with you. We want to spend more time with you. And so it came from there, bizarrely. There was no plan. And actually what we did was we both sat down and said, we both feel passionately about people discovering who they really are underneath all of this noise. So let's create a business that does that.
What makes a woman remarkable?
Well, here's the best thing about that. Because what happens is such a great question, Phil, because what happens is people kind of look at the name and go, well, that doesn't mean me. You know, like I can't join Remarkable Women because I'm not remarkable. You get a bunch of us and Nick and I are kind of yin and yang. So I've always owned that I have something, whereas for her, that's more challenging. And so we attract both sides of the coin. Here's the thing. In the whole of space and time, there will never be another you, ever. You will only exist once. You can't get more remarkable than that. So as we say, you've passed the criteria just by being born. Now own it and live like that's true. And honor the fact there will never, ever be another you in space and time. And so my deepest belief is that if we all showed up in the world with true ownership of our natural gifts and talents and our sense of self, the world would be a different place. The fact is, and I do believe this is a fact, we're all chopping bits off ourselves. We're all denying certain elements. We're all saying, oh, I can't show off here, or she's better than me, or he's better than me. And we're all kind of dimming our light. And so for me, our work is really about how do we keep unlocking your enormous potential? We did a question when we opened the business, which was around asking women on a scale of 1 to 10, how much were they living into their potential? And the scores tended to range from, I don't know, a 4 to an 8. 8 was pretty rare, actually. 10 into land sort of in the 6 space. And I would have said 7 or 8 for a long time. And actually now I say 3 for me. And I want to say that I don't say that out of some false humility. The reason I say it is because I think we have no idea about the true potential of humankind. We have allegedly walked on the moon. We've cured diseases. What we've done in the last year actually is astonishing. We've doubled the rate of change in technology in exponential time. I mean, it's insane. I think humans have no idea what they're capable of. None whatsoever. And so I'm so excited to be on a path with people. I'm saying, come on, let's unlock more. Let's unlock more. But not more from a place of I'm not enough now. I am enough. You're enough. I'm enough exactly as I am. And I want to play all out, you know, on a personal mission level. Whatever happens to us at the end of this life, I, for some reason, I have some vision of some dude with a flip chart scoring me. And I just want him to say, well, she did a good go with what we gave her. You know, she had a good shot with it. Because I think humans are capable of magic. I don't have a better word than that, to be honest. And I think the only thing stopping us is us.
This is why this podcast is called Passionate About People, to have amazing people like you, Danielle, on this podcast. When you discover that sort of magic within you, so you think, I'd like to try this, I'd like to do this, when it starts to pay off and you get positive feedback from the people that are around you, what does that spur you on to do more of?
There's that great quote, isn't there? There are no impossible dreams, only impossible timelines. And so one of the things I experience all of the time, and I certainly did it myself for a really long time, I did it when we set up this business, is we want everything now. We want everything now. And so it's like, I've had this idea and I'd like to have it tomorrow, please. And I don't know what we think is going to happen. Like, we're going to wave a magic wand or something and it's going to appear. And so my experience, things take time. And that's like good news, bad news, you know, mainly good news. I would say once you can get your head around it, things take time. And so for me, the work I am always doing with people, I'm like, I know you're out there looking for your silver bullet. I've got it for you and you're not going to like it very much when I tell you what it is. And they kind of look at me and I say, just show up and do a little bit more today than you did yesterday. And do that every single day, because it's like compound interest. You know, at the very beginning, 1 + 1 only equals 2. But then you go to 4, then you go to 8, then you go to 16, then you go to maths I can't handle, right? And very quickly, it starts to become a really exciting number. But at the beginning, it takes a while to get momentum. And so I've seen it in myself and I've seen it in others. We give up too quickly. We give up way too quickly.
Instant gratification is, without a shadow of a doubt, one of the biggest scourges on our, I'm going to say our society, I'm going to say our race, frankly, because I think we live in a world where we expect instant gratification. Now, you look at the number of years we have been telling university students, you get a degree and you can walk pretty much straight into the top job. What a ridiculous notion. Honestly, I don't know why on earth we don't celebrate the fact that people have to start from the bottom and work their way up. Because actually, if I hadn't have done that in the career that I've chosen, radio and broadcasting and stuff like that, I wouldn't know half of what I know now. And what really excites me is I don't know half of what I'm going to know by this time in a few years. And that's every single moment of every single day. I'm thinking every day is a school day. I don't understand why it's not celebrated. It's almost frowned upon. It's really bizarre.
I must tell you a story. So 2 years ago, I met Danielle, I think it was probably about 2 years ago. We went to King's Cross to have a bit of lunch and we were chatting away and I said to her, thinking about doing a podcast. And she said, oh yeah, you should definitely do a podcast. It's, you know, you've got a lot to say and there's a lot to talk about and it'd be really brilliant. And then it sort of went quiet for a bit. Why did it go quiet? Because I was trying to get my head around what actually happens when you do a podcast. And then by some quirk of fate, I met Phil. I was on the radio, on men's radio, and Russ Kane was supposed to be there, but he was ill. I met Phil. And then we went out for a coffee, and it turned out that Phil and I both live in Bushy, and he does podcasts. Now, so we decided, let's start. And this 1 + 1, 2, 4, 8. So it's now just under a year later. I think we did our first podcast in May. And we're now on podcast 19. And it's true. It takes time. Everything takes time. I think even I had a sort of a diary note in my mind, right? This is when I would like it to sort of happen. And this is when it needs to get better. But nobody else has that diary note in their mind. Things take time to evolve, and you get, you know, you slowly get better and better and better.
Well, I did an interview series this year with some brilliant female entrepreneurs, and I wrote a series of questions. To be honest with you, it was very selfish. I wanted the answers myself. There was some stuff I was really grappling with. And we're in year 5 of our business now, and I had a series of questions. And one of the questions was, what advice would you give to yourself in year 3 of your business? And I have to say, at least 80% of the interviewees, in one form or another, leaned forward and said, it's going to take longer than you think.
But actually, but therein lies the point, you know, that is without doubt. When I say it's one of the most dangerous things, by the way, for our human race, is because I worry about what it actually does. You know, as Graham just mentioned there, I work in a radio station that explores mental health and well-being. And one of the most damaging parts of instant gratification is what it does to the soul, what it does to the mind, to think, where have I failed? Where have I gone so wrong that this has not happened sooner, or this has not happened quicker? And I know, believe me, this has happened to me numerous times, where at the age of nearly 35, I still don't understand why I'm not more successful in my chosen career. And yet, the number of people who say to me, but hang on a sec, do you realize there are people who would lop off their left arm to do what you do? It's just a case of sitting through that proverbial traffic jam and making your way through it. It doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It's just we've got to get a better sense of perspective of when something's going to happen.
And I think that's where the possibilities sit. When we're trying to look into the future, can't quite see what's going to happen. We have an idea of what's going to happen. But I think when we then look back at our journey, we can see how things sort of slotted into place at the right time, or we made certain decisions and things didn't happen or did happen. And it's only when we start to look back do we realize how good things actually are. So where are you now? I know things have developed amazingly within your business and you're doing great things. So where are you now in your business, and where are the wow moments?
Oh, beautiful. Well, I would say, I mean, we've always looked healthy from the outside. And I would say as a young business, compared with many others in the industry, we've always been healthy, and not to the level that on the instant gratification front that I would have wanted us to be at. So let's be clear about that. You know, still a bit of a grind to create clients and to build the business. And just to your point about it takes time, last year we launched a 12-month program called Remarkable Leadership, which is totally unconventional. There's no PowerPoints, there's no stakeholder management, nothing that you would see on any regular leadership program, all online. But actually that program was the culmination of 3 years of teaching loads of masterclasses and me literally waking up one morning and going, oh my word, we take the top 12, we put them together, we have something really special here. And so all of that groundwork before was really critical to get there. Once we worked out our kind of strategic model around that program, then all of a sudden we just stepped up again. It was compound growth year. This year's been a compound growth year for us in terms of our ability to draw people in, to sign up big organizations, all the rest of it. It's been bonkers, but it makes sense. If maybe last year was year 8, then this year is 16. You know, it really makes sense how that has come together. So we're in a very, very healthy place, and we're a small business deliberately. Even in that sense, I mean, like if I was going to give entrepreneurs a book to read, I don't know if you've read it. It's called Anything You Want by Derek Sivers, who was the original founder of CD Baby. And you have to look that up, but really great guy. It's the easiest book to read in the world. He only writes like 2 pages a chapter. And Derek Sivers' principle is he realized that one day he didn't want to manage 85 people anymore. He didn't like it. And he built a business that he didn't like. And so all of our work comes back to all of the time. Do we like doing this? And so there've been a lot of times when people come to us and go, why don't you do X? Why don't you do Y? And we say, because your clients want it. And we say, yes, they do, but we don't like doing it. And kind of honoring that we want a business that we wake up and are passionately in love with every day. That takes dedication, because actually it's really easy to fall into the flow that everyone else is doing. So we're doing really well, and we've probably made some moves along the way that don't make any sense to loads of people, but make perfect sense to us.
I've just had a bolt hit me between the eyes.
So you could probably get some medication for that.
Look, it is all about passion, and you've just something just hit me. I remember when I had my company, and you know, it was growing and it was successful and it was everything that I sort of had dreamed of, really. And I remember sitting at my desk thinking, I'm not doing what I'm really good at. I'm involved in, you know, dealing with the staff and dealing with problems, dealing with issues and day-to-day stuff. And I got into the business because I just loved dealing with clients. I loved helping clients and solving their problems and interacting with clients. And I remember sitting there one day thinking, I'm not doing the one bit in the business. I'm not doing what I set out to do. And I remember trying to make that change. It was so difficult to make that change, and then having to bring in good people around me. But then I was bringing more people into the business that was creating more problems.
Yeah.
And eventually I sold that company. But now, doing this coaching and the stuff that I'm doing now, I absolutely love it. And I'm trying to keep the business small in a boutique way, just so I can concentrate on doing what I love the most. And there's such a fine balance between growing and doing what you love. It's so tough.
Well, it's hard actually, because we're at a stage where the world is calling us to get bigger. And so we're in a conversation right now around how do we do that and remain in integrity with who we are. And so, for example, if you were talking about a light bulb this year, I said, I'm not doing anything anymore. I don't really, really love. And I used to say I loved writing, and I do. I love writing to teach, but I don't love writing to copyright, although I happen to be really good at it. And that's often a problem for many of us. We're good at things, but we don't really enjoy them. And that's where we can get trapped, I think. And so this year, it felt like a really, really bold move. I said to my business partner and our business manager, I'm not writing any copy this year. And we've never found a copywriter who does it well for us. We will launch this program with zero emails going out to our mailing list. And all I will do is speak at events. That's all I'll do. For 3 weeks around International Women's Week, I think I did 15 speaking events. We have never signed up clients more easily, never. And didn't write a single thing. And yet the world would say, but Danielle, what about your marketing plan? I'm like, that is my marketing plan. I get up on stage and I talk. And if people want more, they come and ask for it.
I think it's fair to say that the luckiest people in the world are the ones who can get up in the morning and say they love what they do and actually look forward to getting up in the morning. But I just wonder, I don't think it would be right to have you on this show without asking about a word that I sort of hate because I think it's an unrealistic achievement, but I'd be really interested to get your take on it. And that's the word equality. What is your take on equality, and is it actually what does it look like, and is it actually achievable?
Oh, wow. Have we got all day? So here's my take. I want to say really honestly, I stand here as the next most privileged group in the world after you two. So I'm a white, middle-class, straight, Christian female, right? So pretty much I've ticked all the boxes when it comes down to privilege. And so I do think we stand on different levels of the podium. Let me be really clear about that. And I see it as a personal responsibility that we allow other women to stand on our shoulders. I think that's really, really important. I think that I've seen it all my career, and I did it myself at some point. There was a point in my career when it was a benefit to me to be the only woman in the room because I was really good and I stood out. So I didn't really want the other women coming in with me because it actually took away some of my advantage. And I've got to be honest about that because I see women doing it all the time. Like it helped me to be the only girl and to be talented in the room. And I've had to sit with that and wake up to it. For me, I think we're a long, long, long way away from equality. And I do believe that this generation of women is probably the next lot of suffragettes, as I believe there are changes that are too slow occurring when it comes to race and disability and gender equality. I mean that from a trans perspective and a non-heterosexual perspective. So it's a mess, right? Let's be really clear about it. Where I get to is that great quote, do what you can where you are with what you have. And if I'm willing to own that, if I'm willing to show up with, well, here are the things I can do. There's this amazing line from Byron Katie. I don't know if you're familiar with her work. And somebody said to her at some point, Byron, what's your definition of a life well lived? And she said, to be absolutely present to the right thing to do in any moment and to do it without hesitation. And for me, that's such an aspiration. It's such an aspiration that I'm living into as much as I can every day, and I'm growing my muscles in that space. It's really hard to be totally present, and it's really hard to choose the right thing to do in any given moment without hesitation, because I think we don't always know the right thing to do, and we're often fumbling around people saying things that are inappropriate. We're trying to work out what's the right way to go. I think we're making changes, and I still believe I just show up and play my part.
I was reading an article in the Sunday Times, and they were talking about hope, and that hope should be looked at as a muscle, and that you need to work it and work hard at it. Because I think if you've got hope in anything that you're doing, it creates passion and it creates optimism. And I think that's in everything you're doing, even when there's difficulties surrounding every different subject, if there's positive hope, and you continuously work on that, you can look forward to the future with positivity and feel greatness in your heart. And Danielle, wow, it's been absolutely incredible.
Danielle, if people want more information about you, where can they find you? How can they get in contact?
Well, let me just play it straight. Danielle at remarkablewomen.co.uk. You can find me on social media, but come and talk to me.
You can find me on passionateaboutbusiness.co.uk, or you can email me on the same address, gg@passionateaboutbusiness.co.uk.
And I can't understand why you'd want to get in touch with me, but if you do, you'll find me across social media at Mr. Phil Dave. Danielle McLeod, co-founder of Remarkable Women, thank you very much indeed for speaking to Graham Godfrey and me on this episode of Passionate About People.
Thank you.
And please do remember to subscribe to this show in your podcast application, and hopefully we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.